This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What it do, man?
How you doing, Wiggy?
What's good? What's good?
Hi, Courtney.
Hi. Can I just say one thing off the top?
Well, yes. Is it about a victory lap? Because you deserve a victory lap this morning, but that's not, is that not what it is?
That is not where I was going. First thing I was going to say, saw my breath for the first time this morning. That information with you. As you leave your house.
It is cold this morning, and that is depressing.
But. What does Santo say when he sees his? Like,
stop.
Damn.
Stop. Oh. We're not doing this. We're not doing this today. We're not.
You brought it up.
I did not.
It was low hanging fruit.
Stop the show. End it there. We're going home.
Yeah.
You are an absolute savage.
Yeah. Jerk. You're a big old jerk and a bully.
You are.
No, you brought it up.
I did not.
Yes, anytime.
And you know what? He's a good sport. I apologized profusely last night. He said, there's nothing to apologize for. Everything's fine.
All right, just making sure.
I hate Wiggy, but everything's fine.
Does he say?
No.
Let me just quick follow up on Coco Bomb, which occurred on this show a couple months ago. And late yesterday, the Sports Business Journal had the following report. I will summarize it the way they did on social media. And that report reads in the Sports Business Journal, and I quote, Fenway Sports Group has shifted its focus from a Celtics acquisition to targeting an NBA team in Las Vegas.
Mm.
Coco Bomb landed.
Nailed it.
Man, I thought Bradfo had this massive scoop.
I thought he did as well.
The Fenway Sports Group, Sam Kennedy, wanted nothing to do with the Celtics. Mm. Never had any interest.
Yeah. They go on to say,
isn't it amazing how those that lecture the most are wrong the most often?
They go on to say that the plan is for Fenway Sports Group investor LeBron James to lead the project once he retires.
Okay.
So that is currently the focus that is going on with the Fenway Sports Group. While Curtis, they are maintaining an intense focus on improving the Boston Red Sox. Oh, I am certain.
Right. And you know what? As someone, you know, Greg, you and I left the wonderful flannel party here. We went straight to what used to be the Sports Depot, and we watched the NLCS.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched the Bees' big win late night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me that teams that spend money win in Major League Baseball.
It's wild, isn't it?
What a crazy concept.
We talked about that last week where you had you had the top three payrolls. All of those teams are, believe it or not, playoff teams.
Yep.
And they're all there at the end. So I think four of the six or something had, when it came to if you went back prior to the division championships, four of the six of the top payrolls were still alive. So, this is the off season they're going to spend in, Curtis.
I don't think we should speed past that Coco Bomb, though. Like, it is amazing that I was on with Ken, 3 weeks ago, when that Bradford story came out, and it was so matter of fact.
Yeah.
And it was like, never happened, never even asked about it, never did anything. And then I even said to Ken, I said, well, I am the one saying Fenway Sports Group. Courtney's report just had Sam Kennedy.
Mm. Yeah.
So let's verify that, because I don't want to get Courtney in trouble for something she didn't do. He texted Rob, and Rob said, yep, Sam as well, never involved.
Well, Bracco went on a million different podcasts, was tweeting every 5 seconds about how he knows that the that Fenway Sports Group
I think that's what they were telling him.
Right, that's what the sale argument was.
But he went on this long, like, just trail of telling everybody that he's right, he has the inside scoop, and I love Bradfo. Mego, who I love, called me after he went on her podcast to be like, hey, do you want to come on and just, like, refute what he's saying? I don't want this to be one-sided. I said, no, I'm going to let the facts speak for themselves.
All right. Well, there you go. You nailed it. Well, Bezos?
I don't
that's what that means.
I don't think it was. I mean, it was not even 2 weeks ago that entire ownership group, minus John Henry, stood up there and told you that their portfolio was full, I believe, and that they had no interest in acquiring anything else.
Greg, let me make this abundantly clear. That report was a morning on this radio show. And before end of business, I sent a text to Ken. I said, hey, anything from the Sox? You know, I'm out and about with the James man. I don't know if I missed it. He said, crickets. And at that moment, on the day of the report, I knew it was true. Because believe me, as someone who has said things about the Red Sox, they correct it quick. And the fact that there was nothing, and then Sam Kennedy was in the witness protection program avoiding the show.
Well, look, I mean, I'm sorry you feel that way.
So was that for, I forget who said it, was to drive up the price for their boy Wick?
I have no idea.
The purchase price?
No, I'm assuming that.
I mean, because what somebody said that's the reason why and the Fenway Sports Group kind of whispered
that they were trying to help and try to, maybe. I mean, I'm assuming that if LeBron James is going to be the new Fenway Sports Group NBA franchise Tom Brady, like Tom Brady is to the Raiders, that you would be as interested in the Celtics as you would be in the Vegas team.
Not really.
Because you have way more time when it comes to the Vegas team, right?
Well, not only that.
Because it's an expansion team. Oh, and because LeBron is going to be a mid-country, West Coast guy. He's not going to be a Boston guy.
Well, he'll be a West Coast guy, but I would think Vegas, no state tax in Nevada, correct me if I'm wrong. Probably a lot easier to build an arena out there because they got plenty of land.
Yeah.
So it might be in this, when they look at it from a business standpoint, they might look at it and say, it's going to be a lot cheaper for us to do it in Vegas than it would be for us to do it in Boston.
Yeah.
And it's LeBron. So
what does that say to you about when LeBron retires? I mean, it is going to be a couple years, I'm assuming, by the time you get that franchise. The NBA goes through the due diligence and gets that expansion franchise up and going, and then you got to build an arena or figure out where you're playing. So is that two more seasons?
I'd say two more. This year.
This year and then next
year. And then next year.
Because he's going to want to have a farewell tour. I mean, he's going to want everybody to know that it's his last season.
Yes. So he's just saying popping up and retiring at the end of the year.
Right.
He hates attention.
He's going to want to get the automobiles in every city.
But if you were the Fenway Sports Group, wouldn't you rather do it in Vegas from a money standpoint in business?
I love Boston.
No.
I've lived my entire 58 years here. I would want the Boston Celtics.
But what I'm saying is don't put yourself in a I'm Greg from Boston. I've been here for.
Well, how can I do? I'm actually Greg from Seaport, but I used to be Greg from Stowe, and I was fine with either. I like both.
I'm just saying, from a businessman's standpoint,
yeah,
it would be. It's a lot. It's better business in Vegas than it is in Boston.
Yeah,
if you're looking at it from John Henry, who's not a Boston guy,
right.
He's probably saying it's going to be way easier to get through the red tape to build an arena.
Yeah,
so
you're probably right about that.
That's all I'm saying.
Because they want the franchise, and it's the city wants it, and it's going to be easier.
Can I offer a glimmer of hope on this cold Thursday?
Yes.
Maybe the Sox are going to maybe the Fenway Sports Group could be selling the Sox.
Wow.
because Boston is no longer a fertile landscape to be doing this business.
Mm.
Oh,
that would be electric.
Oh.
Also, since it came up, kind of, it was, and I didn't think I was going to feel this way. I don't know if anybody else did. It was heartbreaking yesterday afternoon when Tom Brady walked in to the offices.
Yeah, that was weird.
Of the Las Vegas Raiders to a resounding all staff standing ovation.
Very strange.
And why can you not imagine that scenario here?
Can you not imagine
yesterday afternoon, Tom Brady rolls out to Patriot Place, right out in front of the Patriots Hall of Fame where the statue should be, and he's greeted by the ticket people, by Ben Volen Source, the guy who works over in season tickets.
We'll talk about on an island again, Ben. Oh, boy.
I mean, it was so hurtful, it doesn't seem like it has to be that way.
He looked emotional, too. He was touched by that.
He was fired up about it.
And the hug between him and Mark Davis was strange.
Mark Davis was like a dad cheering on his son at Little League, like so excited.
He's a smart businessman.
Yep.
Like, that makes you relevant in so many different ways, so many off-field ways. Like, it was so disappointing. All right, well,
Mark probably thought it was for him.
We have a lot to get to on today's show, and that includes our leads in about 10 minutes. And then the head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, will join us at 6:45, as he always does on Thursdays. After that, we'll get to They Said It. I'm assuming it'll be more like 7:20 this morning, Shime. When we get to They Said It, which is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will talk during They Said It about the NFL analyst who suggests that Drake May's ceiling is could be the best ever in the NFL.
Mm. Wow.
That is the ceiling. And by the way, this analyst is one that Curtis pointed to yesterday when taking down your guy Orlowski and said that he is legit, this NFL analyst.
All right.
So,
nobody's doing what Orlowski is doing. Just ask him. He's amazing.
And I should probably at some point have either Shime or Courtney or the two of them together stand in on an audio eulogy for Liam Payne after that tragic event yesterday.
Were
you shook?
Well,
your generation was shook.
And there was a Greg Hill Foundation Next Gen board meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
I was 4 minutes late because I had found out, and I was down like a rabbit hole.
Were you crying?
I was emotional.
We're emotional.
Yeah. That's a guy who fell off the deep end and like just
Please
last.
Don't use that analogy. Too soon.
Well, I mean,
too soon. But yes, we will get to an audio eulogy at some point. I'm sure Wiggy has.
I've heard One Direction.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I feel like their time was high, but it was quick.
Yeah. Okay.
They burned hot.
Yeah, it was like, you know, they were around for a short period of time, but when they were around, they were one of the biggest.
That was like my teenage days.
Yeah, but it was
One Direction.
Yeah, and then they kind of just fizzled out.
Well, Harry Styles still pretty popular.
Well, the two of you can boomer explain that to the rest of us at some point on this morning show. Right now, though, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Bruins get a good win on the road. Final score 5-3 over the Avalanche. Five different guys got the five goals. Hampus Lindholm had an assist in this one as well to get to 2 points. Korpisalo was in goal. He had 22 saves in the win. We have college football game on our airwaves tonight. BC is in Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech. Kickoff is at 7:30. And like Greg said, we'll talk to Bill O'Brien this morning about that matchup. In the NFL, the Broncos take on the Saints in Thursday Night Football at 8:15. And the Dodgers go up in the NLCS last night, shutting out the Mets 8-0 in Game 3. They lead that series 2-1. And over to the ALCS, the Yankees are up 2-0 on the Guardians. Game 3 is tonight. First pitch at 5:08.
Is that series ever going to be close? I mean, it's like 8-9 and 7-1.
Yeah.
What was it? 9-2, whatever the first game was. Like, is it ever going to be close?
Yeah. I will never be able to root for the Yankees. But, Curtis, I would ask you this. If the Yankees end up winning it all, does that at least add some pressure when it comes to John Henry and those that are running the Red Sox? Is that what maybe wakes them up a little bit? And from a business perspective, they feel like they got to do a lot?
I mean, I wish I could say yes, but I don't sense this, like, animus from the Red Sox fan base in on all these games, rooting for the Guardians. Like, yeah. Maybe that will. I really think the teams that are remaining, if it's Dodgers, Yankees, and the World Series, that's a pretty clear sign that you have to spend to win. And yeah. If they had given Shohei Ohtani that deal, it would have only been $2 million this year, and you're in the World Series. God. How right. Do you get guys like Betts?
Courtney, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Curtis, weather?
All right. Sorry. I'm slightly under the weather.
Oh, what's Curtis. The matter?
I have, James had this, like, forever cough, and it's finally hit me.
Uh-oh. You know, the whooping cough is coming back.
Oh, please.
It's making
that's
a comeback.
That's, like, all one right. of the three things he hasn't gotten yet.
Oh. Well, I can't. I mean, the jinx is powerful, but I can't do it. It only affects old people who are near death.
I will say this. The guy went to a pumpkin patch yesterday. Oh. Picked winners.
He did.
Oh.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what he can't do. Well, he sleep, but other than that, 37.
Are you going to decorate them and do?
Yeah, he loves decorating those.
The whole thing.
We have one. It's just Ken's head. Afternoon highs.
Does it have a mask on it?
It sure does.
Okay, good.
And it's socially distanced from other pumpkins. Afternoon highs 58.
Excuse me. Social distance, please.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it is a Thursday, and that means Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, will join us in about 20 minutes at 6:45, and then at 7:20, we will get to, they said it, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And our lead's coming up in a moment. Just want to mention, after an awful tragedy, that we are raising money for a family from the Cape when it comes to the Greg Hill Foundation. And we launched this fundraiser yesterday after hearing what happened. And you extraordinarily generous people have already donated over $71,000 to this family. In less or a little over 12 hours, I guess. They are the Hubbard family, and they were on vacation last week staying at a rental home in Clinton, New York. And unfortunately, a fire broke out in the rental home. And Shannon, the wife and mother, and their 1-year-old daughter, Maggie, lost their lives in that fire. The husband, the father, John Hubbard, is a Dennis police officer on the Cape. He and their 3-year-old son, Jack, survived that fire. But as I'm sure you can imagine, there is a massively long road ahead for the two of them and the rest of their family. So yesterday we launched a fundraiser, and if you feel like you could give, it will go a long way toward helping that family. You can do that when you go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That's thegreghillfoundation.org. And when we launched yesterday, we announced that we were going to match your donations up to $10,000. We will probably be able to to go back and match more because you've been so generous so far. So if you can, those of you who already gave, thank you so much. You do it all the time. I ask a lot of you, and you step up each and every single time and give, and there's no possible way that I can thank you enough for that. But if you already gave, thank you. And if you have yet to give, please do so when you can later on today, and it will make a huge difference for that family from the Cape. So, all right. Let us, if we can, get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Seems like, Curtis, the ice age is coming this morning. You said there was actual frost that occurred last night. Am I right about that?
There sure was. It's right now at my favorite place, Restoucha Arena in Bedford. It's 28 degrees.
That's actually Wilmington is where that is. But I appreciate the effort as a huge puckhead that you brought up Restoucha.
I used to go there and just watch morning skates as a young boy.
You and Dale. All right. Let's begin. Hello, Shime. Good morning.
Morning, Greg. So yesterday I did my first weekly dive into the Drake May All 22s. And I got to say, I was pretty excited. But there are a couple things I want Drake to work on.
Especially were you pantsless heading or were you wearing pants?
Nope, pants were on the whole time. Don't worry, I was all about business on this one, Greg, not all pleasure.
It is. I think Courtney can tell me whether I'm right or not, but it is gray sweatpants season.
It sure is, yeah.
It is.
Okay. It's true. Right. Pitch that tent.
Okay.
Okay. Well, then. Anyways, so as I was watching the film, I realized one thing in particular that I think Drake is going to learn over time, but that I wish he would kind of utilize a little bit more now, and that's a little bit more patience in the pocket. There was a couple situations, one in particular, right, where it was his first, I think, run of the game, where he had a relatively clean pocket, and if he just waited another beat and stepped up into that pocket, Hunter Henry was about to break open into the center of the center of the field, and he was wide open for like a 20-yard gain. It happened again, too. This play was a little bit of a broken play. It looked like a screen, but if he just kind of is a little bit more patient and picks his eyes up, he's going to see Kayshon Booty streaking across the middle of the field, wide bleeping open.
Okay.
And so there was a couple opportunities there where I felt like Drake could be a little bit more patient, especially with his eyes. Don't quite lock in on one read. Give himself some time. He has the time. The offensive line wasn't terrible. He had time. I want him to be a little bit more patient this week, and I want to see him really attack down the field this week against the Jaguars, whose defense, by the way, stinks. So that's what I hope from Drake May this week.
Is when it comes to Doug Peterson, is his job in jeopardy? I mean, do they
absolutely
have to, do they have to win this week, or is it a you get fired on the way back from London kind of thing if they lose?
No, I think he is. I don't know if Shad Khan, who's the owner of Jacksonville, fires him during the season, but I think if they can't turn it around, he's going to be done after the season. And I know I forget who I was who keeps riding this train. Maybe it's Jones and Keith in the afternoon. I don't remember. I hear so many different people. But Bill landing in Jacksonville could be a realistic thing because that guy spends money down there.
Yeah,
they got a young quarterback. You know, they got decent talent.
I would assume that Mac 10 would be gone if Bill Lynn.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to keep Mac up at night. But I also don't think that they would fire midseason because they just did that two seasons ago, firing Urban Meyer midseason. So I think it's a bad look if you're Jacksonville to just go through coaches so quickly.
If you get stomped by the Patriots this week, I think Doug Peterson's flying commercial back to the U.S.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You could be.
100%.
But Courtney's right. Do you want to be an owner who fires head coaches midseason twice?
Yeah, but Doug Peterson, this is his third season with the team. Like, it's not like it's not like an Urban Meyer situation where he's only lasted 15 games.
Right,
it's now his third season, and I think there's less leash there.
And that division stinks, too. So,
thank you. Great.
You're welcome.
Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. Quick nugget. Yesterday, I got a little whisper about the Patriots' TV ratings, finally. Low to mid-20s. They are very concerned. So if you're wondering about the plan or when that was originated or what it was when it came to playing Drake May, look no further than the people turning off the TV.
Mm.
I believe that is why you saw him last week.
Huh, okay.
People are checking out. They had to keep people's attention.
Has nothing to do with his development or lack thereof or who the opponent was going to be that he would face or getting him in and acclimated in a game that they didn't think they could win so that he's ready for a game like this one on Sunday that they thought they could win. It's all about the ratings.
Correct.
All about the interest in the team.
Which is why it seemed odd to many that he was given this start against a very good defense as opposed to the one the week before against the Dolphins or against the Jaguars.
All right. Curtis, thank you. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. We talked about the Christian Barmore tweet yesterday. He had tweeted at 1:22 a.m. Wednesday morning. I just experienced for the first time five Providence cops being very unprofessional, racism at its finest. That tweet has since been deleted, but not before the Providence Police Department released body cam footage of what actually went down. It was a traffic stop because his temporary license plate was being covered. They couldn't make out the status of the vehicle when they pulled him over. They then were able to figure out that his registration had expired October 5th.
And his license as well, right?
Yeah. And the way in which he stopped made them think that it was too slow of a stop and he was hiding something. Mm. They did find marijuana in the car. We can hear a little bit from the body cam footage.
Okay. I'm a football player, bro. So I ain't here for none of that, bro. Okay. I'm going to the crib. So why y'all like y'all just pull me off for no reason? Ain't nobody speaking none of that. If I really want to, I'd have ran y'all. So let's stop it, bro.
I pull y'all for no reason.
Like,
bro.
Literally, you pull me over. I'm dropping 10 miles per hour, cuz. Okay, I ain't even driving fast.
I can't even see what state the plate's from, dog, right?
I just told you, I'm not even from out here. I'm from Florida. I'm not even from out here, dog. This is literally, I'm from Florida. I play out here. I play football out here for the Patriots.
Hey, it's for the Patriots?
Cool, yeah. Right. For the Patriots.
So, so you're going to be disrespectful, right?
Man, look.
Because I was going to be respectful when I came, right? You want to throw papers at me, right?
Nobody throw papers at you, sir.
You want to throw papers at me, man?
Nobody throw papers at you, bro. I'm just saying, you pull me over for no reason, sir.
Second. All right, you going to let me talk, bro?
Go ahead.
Second, right? I acted in my lights, what, back there? And it took you a while to stop all the way over here?
Bro, because I'm literally trying to pull over a spot, my boy.
Look how much room you have back there.
Come on, cuz. I pulled over for you, dog. Come on.
I'm saying, I acted in my lights back there, right?
So the Providence Police Department released a statement after saying that the officers handled the situation exactly how they were supposed to.
Yeah, it was cool. Dude was real calm, the police officer.
Yeah.
The issue I have here is you're Christian Barmore. You were dealing with blood clots. You haven't seen any playing time. You've been recovering. So now you get pulled over instead of just having this conversation. And I understand I am not a black man in America, so I have no idea what it feels like to be pulled over in the early morning hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's a very scary situation. The cops seem to have handled it really professionally when they came over to him. But then to go on social media and make that tweet, if he hadn't done that, then the body cam footage wouldn't have been released.
Correct.
It wouldn't have escalated this so much. And
they handled it. I think they handled it as they should have.
Correct.
Yeah, they were way better than the cops down in Florida with Tyreek Hill.
Right.
It's not even a similar situation.
Not even at all.
Your car's not registered. You don't have a driver's license. It's 1:30 a.m. I mean, I guess probably Tuesday night, and I haven't been in a while, but probably I'm guessing Tuesday night in Providence, 1:30 a.m. You can't miss it. I mean, probably a lot going on down there, I would say, Curtis.
You haven't lived until you go to Federal Hill on a Tuesday.
Yeah, hey, Providence is jumping. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what's jumping. It's the, as you would call them, it's the Shake Shacks down there.
No, they just got a better vibe down there.
Legs and eggs.
That's why somebody's in Providence.
Just a better vibe, Greg.
It's the Shake Shacks.
Yeah.
I like the fact that the cops were, or at least the one cop we heard was wasn't raising his voice. My mother used to say this to me all the time, and I tell my kids the same thing. You catch more bees with honey, right? So, like, if you're in, and his mother even, I think it was his mother that was on the phone when he was talking to her throughout the video. You'll hear her.
That's 40-minute long video.
Yeah,
it's long.
She was on the phone, and she was just telling him, like, Christian, calm down. Like, all right, I get it. Maybe you feel like they pulled you over for no reason, but, you know, if you're hiding some weed under your seat and you're better off just being cool in that situation and trying to do your best to maybe de-escalate the situation. And who knows, maybe they look the other way. Maybe they give you a pass.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I saw it when I looked at the video. I was like, man, sometimes you catch more bees with honey, man.
Yeah. And just quickly to round it out, Gerard Mayo was asked about it, said that the captains handled it within the locker room with the other players. So
I don't want to pile on, but the off-field stuff, back-to-back weeks,
bad.
Is that is it okay to question the way discipline and leadership happens in the organization?
Which I mean, no, Jack Jones last
yeah,
year.
You can't, yeah, you can't
Jack
do
Jones
that.
Last year. Okay. I mean, do we want to talk about
you
other?
Can't do that?
No, because there's been other situations. There's been situations.
Brandon Spikes.
Yeah, there's been situations on the Bill. Okay. To me, the big
kind of a big one.
To me, Greg, the bigger issue with maybe just some of the coaching styles is more about what the players say to the media about complaining about role like that.
100%.
That is a lot more under Gerard than it was under Bill. Yeah.
And if I were Gerard Mayo, I would come out today because you so quickly said yet we need to wait for the facts with Jabril Peppers. We have the facts. We have the full video.
Yeah.
And it's, from my perspective, okay to say that what Christian Barmore did and using something that is the worst thing you can be as an officer, that he should apologize. The organization should apologize.
They should.
To the Providence Police Department.
Which I think they will, and I think Barmore will probably come out
and say. You think he will?
Yeah, I think he'll come out.
Greg's right, though, because under Bill, I don't think that Christian Barmore is tweeting about racism and the cops at 1:22 a.m.
I don't think so, but that's, you know.
Like, I think that's a bit of a difference between where we are now.
Did you see Jack Jones on Twitter last year?
But there has been so much more of that, Curtis, than we've ever seen when it comes to the Patriots.
Well, I would think it's more of the on-field complaining. That's what I've gotten a lot from.
It's just in general, guys feel more entitled than they used to to speak up and say things that they might not have said.
Well, it's like Keyshawn Booty, Jalen Polk.
It's like Polk yesterday.
Yeah,
like Gerard Mayo criticizes you. And then you immediately have a 50-word response about how he's not right.
Yeah, that I would say has changed.
All right, anyway, I thought we might be able to squeeze all leads in.
Sorry.
We are not. No! Great lead, Courtney. Yeah, great lead. Discussion starter.
Thank you.
Good job, Courtney.
Well done. But we'll get to Wiggy's lead and to my lead after we talk to the great Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, from Blacksburg, Virginia, next. The head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, is brought to you by Time Out Market Boston, showcasing the best of Boston under one roof. And he joins us this morning from Blacksburg, Virginia. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Greg. Morning, guys. How we doing?
I was looking at the local attractions, and may I suggest the coal mining Heritage Park looks like it might be might make a good field trip for the fellas later on today.
Yeah, I think the field trip will exist of a couple meals, some meetings, get on the bus, and go play the game. That'll be the field trip.
I like that attitude. We don't have time for that other nonsense. Am I right? It's football.
That's right.
Will you guys be eating a turkey leg while you were down there? Because they sell those at a concession. Weird eating your mascot.
I told the team. Yeah, I told the team yesterday. I said I'm not into radioactive turkey legs or anything like that. So no, we will not be partaking in turkey legs down here.
Crab cakes and football. That's all we need.
Bill.
That's right.
Bill, Virginia Tech, very hostile environment. I've been in that stadium before. It's like seems like a great place to play. They're a scrappy team.
Don't they bring out the
Sandman? I think it's called.
They have the seismology meter or whatever. They bring that out to test how you know the effect of the crowd on the Earth's rotation or whatever. Yes.
Well, what do you like? What's always the message to your team when you play a conference opponent and a place where you know it's going to get rowdy, and then it's a team that's going to be very scrappy? What's the mindset for you to the kids going into this game?
We should embrace this. These guys should embrace going into a place that prides itself. I think it's like what Greg was saying. It's the fifth loudest stadium in the country, right? They've measured it, however they measure the decibels. And you know, we should love this. This is what college football is all about. We've had a good week of practice. These guys are very excited. You can tell sometimes, you know, when you get on the bus or you're in the hotel last night in the meetings, you know, these guys are ready to go. You know, we've got to play good football. We got to play very sharp, focused football. We got to take care of the ball, but you know, we believe that, we're ready to go. No doubt about it.
Bill, having all that time off in between the loss 2 weeks ago and now this game, what have you learned about your guys? How different are they going into this game than they were coming off the field against Virginia?
I think that these guys showed up. You know, we had some time here. So, you know, last week we had three very difficult practices, very physical practices. The coaches, you know, we spent a lot of time on self-scout. You know, here's some things we can do better as coaches. And the guys, the team, they approached it the right way. We had a good week this week. We have really good leadership. I've talked to you guys about that. You know, we have, you know, six captains that really lead this team the right way. And so I think they've approached it really well. Like I always tell you guys, I enjoy coaching the team. They show up every day to go to work. And, you know, I think we've had a good week, and now we have to go do it.
What did you like or not like about what you saw from Drake May's debut as an NFL starter?
I mean, I think that the guy's going to be an excellent football player in the NFL. I mean, the guy, he's got an excellent arm. He's very accurate. He's very instinctive. He can run. The throw that he made to Booty, the deep ball to Booty, was a great throw. That's not an easy throw. You know, you have to help the receiver down the red line, and you know, he made a great throw on that. He scrambled. I saw where he hit Hunter on a scramble, and that was a big play. I think he handled the offense well. So, you know, I think the guy's got a great future. And again, it's not going to happen overnight. They'll play. You know, the thing about Houston is Houston's really good on defense, but they really don't do a whole lot. They do what they do, and so it's going to be the teams that spin the dial that you never know really what's coming next. That those are the teams that are going to be difficult for him, and you know, he'll just have to keep battling. But I think he's, you know, a really good player.
Bill, you guys have reached a point of the season where all college football teams are going to deal with injuries, but you guys are dealing with that with Amari Jackson out for the season with a torn ACL. How do you feel prepared for that? Do you have enough depth to be able to fill that gap?
We do. You know, it's hard to replace Amari. He's an excellent player. But we have a few guys. You know, we have a freshman named Ashton McShane. We have a grad transfer named Bryce Brown, that we feel can go over there and play. Ryan Turner is another guy transferred in here.
Bill, isn't that the guy you gave the $150,000 verbal guarantee to?
No, I want to clearly, state, as Greg Hill leads me down this road, that I don't make verbal guarantees. No, it's an earn it philosophy. Hashtag earn it.
Okay.
That's an IOU.
Yeah, an IOU. I owe you this later on when you graduate. No, but I feel good about the guys that are playing out there. You know, we'll mix it up and we'll have to help. These guys, Virginia Tech, have some good, you know, really good receivers, so we'll have to help those guys. But, I think we're in pretty decent shape with the depth.
Speaking of NIL, we had an interesting discussion, I think it was last week, about this company that Kendrick Perkins started, which essentially offers loans to college athletes in advance of getting NIL, with the hope that they get it and then can pay the loan back. Is that, in your mind, a good thing or a bad thing?
It'd be hard for me to – I don't really know about that. I'm sorry. I'm not read up on what Kendrick Perkins is doing. I don't know. I think that eventually – this is what I believe. I think it should be regulated eventually. Eventually it has to be where people – in Congress that have an interest in college athletics, especially football and basketball, you know, that they help regulate it, you know what I mean? And so, you know, what does that mean? Well, what it means is, like, you know, maybe there should be a cap. You know, you can only spend this much and then it goes, I don't even know. I really don't even know. I'm just saying it is wild right now, you know, that, you know, there was one where you just saw maybe where a guy was committed to Clemson, a quarterback, and then he flipped to go to Notre Dame. You know, that I don't know this for a fact, but that involved, you know, money. And yeah. And I think that, like, before they've even stepped on campus, you know, I think it's just very difficult to say to a guy who hasn't done anything for your program yet, hey, man, we're going to give you, you know, this amount of money before you've even put on a BC helmet. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not into that. So,
that was
maybe the loan would help. I don't know.
was a kid, Blake Hebert from Central Catholic. He was teammates with my son, Billy. I love the fact that we get to talk to you because you give us a world that we don't get to see that I'm fascinated with because I have, you know, two kids that play college football. What's the communication like? Because you brought up Donovan. I don't want to mess up his last name. The defensive end who's having a great year. What's your communication with these guys that are obviously trying to do everything they can to help you guys win, but they're also trying to get to the next level? Like, how do you incorporate them understanding, like, okay, you can do both and the help that you can give them because you've been at that level? I mean, is that something that you really have a great advantage of when you are recruiting and saying, hey, I got a pipeline to the NFL? Because that's what, you know, every kid who puts on a helmet, his ultimate dream is.
Yeah, that's definitely one of our selling points, Wig. Like, and his name is Donovan Ezeraku, and he will play in the NFL. And so on our staff, besides myself, we have Doug Marrone, who is the head coach of the Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then we have Rob Chudzinski, who has a lot of experience in the NFL, was a head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, we have Bears here. And so we have...
Actually, Matt Patricia was wondering if you have any room for him over there.
We're filled up. No room right now.
On the offensive staff, I mean.
but we do have different educational programs that we try to implement throughout the year. And one of them, we haven't done it yet. We're going to do it probably in our next bye week. But will be to educate these guys on the National Football League and, you know, what it takes to make it to that league. We've already talked to one-on-one with, you know, guys like Donovan and Ozzie Trapillo and, you know, guys that are in there last year. But I think that that's one of the things we can do. And I think if you look at the history of Boston College in the National Football League, it's very, very good, right? Teams want guys in that league. They want guys that are going to be accountable, that are going to be, you know, focused and smart and be good teammates and understand the work ethic that it takes to make it that level. And I think that's one of the things that we sell here at BC. You can do both. You can be a really good student, and you can play in the NFL. We have the experience to help you get there, and so that's kind of how we communicate it.
And, Billy, right. I just on the one last one, Greg, if I could.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Patriots in the news this season for the wrong reasons, off the field, some issues, don't need to break down individually. What is the role that you had when you were with the Texans as the head coach, and how much responsibility falls on the people that run the organization when you have players that are not, you know, doing what they're supposed to do away from the facility?
Yeah, the role, like, so basically when I was, most of the years I was at the Texans, it was a partnership in running the team with the general manager. So you and the general manager, you know, ran the team together. And I think that's one of the issues, too, sometimes in the NFL. I'm not saying with the Patriots, I'm saying just in the NFL in general, is that, you know, you have so many situations where the general manager and the head coach are not on the same page. They don't come from the same background. They don't believe in the same things. And so, you know, but that's how it's handled. And then obviously the owner at the end of the day, it has the final say. And so if something happens, we didn't have too many things happen at the Texans when I was there. But, you know, if something happens relative to discipline, then the owner steps in. Obviously the NFL is involved. But as the head coach, you're just part of a team. You're not the final decision maker on discipline. That's not really your role. You're just part of a team that you can be. It's just your opinion. You're not the final say in most NFL organizations.
All right, Bill O'Brien, we will let you go and get to work and get ready for a hostile environment tonight.
Go Eagles.
Good luck.
We'll be watching.
Can't wait for that game. We will be watching this evening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That's Bill O'Brien. Always a great interview.
Yeah, it's always interesting to kind of, like, you can get both worlds. You know, you can get the NFL world, and you can get, like, kind of what the college football world is like and so forth. You know, like, guys like myself who are college football fans, it's, like, interesting to see when you bring up the kid from Central Catholic who flips from Clemson to Notre Dame. Yeah. Do you feel like money is an issue in that, which nowadays a lot of the time it is?
And he probably got lucky with the Texans because Deshaun Watson had not discovered massages yet.
You know what's interesting is we have audio. I can get it today or we can play it whenever, but Charles Robinson is the lead football writer at Yahoo. Basically says the only person who ever got anything worthwhile out of Deshaun Watson in the NFL is Bill O'Brien.
100%.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. All right. We have a couple leads left. a lead from Coach Wiggins and a lead from yours truly. And we will get to those next. And then they said it at 7:20. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will talk about the NFL analyst who says that Drake May's ceiling is best ever. Right up there. Best ever.
The roof.
In the NFL. We'll get to that coming up at 7:20.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.